All right.
This is August the 24th, 1988. My name is Marion Shoebridge Zadie.
Marion, what was Northville like, or what was your early life like, early on?
Northville was a very small little town. We knew everyone. You know, I can remember when we lived down on Wing Street on a Sunday, I would sit out on the curb and look up at Main Street and watch for my aunt's car for an hour, and sometimes I'd count 12 cars before their car came out from Detroit and turned down to come to dinner. We knew everyone in town, and everyone knew about everyone else, if anyone needed something, someone else was there to help, and all the children played together. I remember when we got our first blacktop, it was so exciting to go roller skating on it, you know. And the Northville Fair was the big time of our life, the Wayne County Fair in Northville, Michigan. And I think it cost a quarter to get in. But we used to walk across the tiles and come in through the field, and it didn't cost anything. Then you had a quarter to spend on other things. If you had a dollar, you could go in the afternoon, stay right through till it closed at 9 o'clock at night, and have enough money to have a real good time. But the things were interesting then. The farmers brought their things into display. It was like our Michigan Fair today, and the animals were always there, and we would have the high school classes doing their typing blindfolded. We were so impressed with it. And the home ec classes would bring in the dresses that they'd made and put them on display. A lot of small things like that that really intrigued us. And of course there was the horse races, you know. The Rattenberry family, one of the ones, I think there is still a Rattenberry racing someplace today, because that was our early families in the racing part. And I went to school with Harry Rattenberry, so I knew all about what was going on. And it was, we had lazy days in Northville. Big exciting thing was to take a walk. And on Saturday nights, the thing was, in the summertime, always a band concert uptown. Now, I do remember the Crow's Nest in the middle of Center Street in Maine. It gives away a lot of information about yourself when you admit to that. But we used to get our stockings there at Christmas time, and it was very exciting to wait for Santa Claus to hand those out. But the summer times, the band concerts were really great. And I always remember that Mr. Altman was very important in starting that first band that we had. And you get a nickel box of popcorn and sit in your cars if you came in from the country, like the Zadies did. But we, of course, would just walk up and sit on the street curb and listen to them play on Saturday night. And it was nice. You knew everyone and said hello to everyone, and the stores would be open. Could go in, do a little shopping. We only ate ice cream in the summertime. I can remember saying to my mother, "Do you think it's warm enough to have an ice cream cone?" And we'd get the nickel and go up to the, was that Horton's drugstore on the corner there? I think Horton was the first one I remember. Later on, that was the Gunzels, and, you know, on and on it goes. And for a nickel, you could get an ice cream cone with a cherry on it. You had your choice at three flavors, vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. That was it. But it was nice knowing everyone. There was no question of what you would do for a neighbor. I remember when we lived on Center Street, little girl who lived on, we always called it the north side of town, Cabbage Town, was walking home from the fair and pouring down rain, so my mother brought her in, put dry clothes on her, called her mother up, and the brother came and picked her up. It was, you know, today you'd say, what were you doing in someone's house? What are these strange clothes? But that was Northville in our day. And it was a nice, quiet little town, and we did a lot of things that were fun things. Everyone went to the basketball games. Football games were played down at the fairgrounds out in the middle of the racetrack field. I forget what that's called, but the high school would go down there. Of course, afternoon games, there were no lights on the field, but it seemed like everything was done. Everyone went to everything that went on when it was going on in town. Yeah. It was fun growing up in a small town. I liked it. Yeah. Now my grandchildren live in Vermont, and they get a little flavor of this small town living, and I'm happy for them. Mm-hmm. I think they'll have nice memories.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, like, what school building did you go to?
Well, the one located, that was located in the back of our high school building now, on the corner of Katy Street. And that later burned down. We had, you know, a couple fires in town, but that was the one that I started kindergarten. And when we were in fourth grade, we were too crowded, so our superintendent was in a building on a house on Main Street that's now where our present Main Street school is. So the fourth grade was in the room upstairs, and we had to be very quiet because the principal's office, or the superintendent's office, was downstairs, so we couldn't make any noise. But then, in sixth grade, the grade school was getting small, so we had a room in the old high school that later on was Les Lee's music room. And that was our sixth grade room.
But the one with the arch windows?
No, that was down on the first floor, over at the side. Now, the arch windows was the study hall. Of course, and
but
the desks were in there.
They that went was to the high school?
Yes, in the high school.
Yeah.
And you went to a school play, and you sat in the desk in the study hall and watched the play up on the stage. So it was pretty exciting. And
I think you told me that Benny went to Wash Oak School. Did you go, Benny?
I went to Baseline.
Baseline,
yeah.
Which is Ellen.
The Academy.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Ellen Academy.
Yes,
oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the Baseline school that Benny and his family attended. Yeah. We have pictures when half of the class was made up of Zadies in that particular year. Five of them. So yeah, I didn't attend a girls' school, but my sisters did. I never met Benny until I lived in Detroit, but he's 4 years older than I am. So
one of the big kids.
He knew my older sister. See, uh-huh. He was out of high school before I got there, so that's why I didn't know him in those days. But I was real glad I met him. You know.
But then you moved from Northville away then for a while.
Well, my parents were divorced when I was in the eighth grade. And so we had moved to Plymouth. And so I stayed with a sister and went to high school in Plymouth. And so that's why I don't tell many people in Northville, because you know how I love Northville schools. But nevertheless, I did have 8 years of school in Northville before I went to Plymouth, graduated from there. Nancy Soper knew that and threatened to tell everyone that I was a Plymouth graduate.
Yeah, there was a lot of rivalry.
Yes, really, really. Football games used to kill me when, you know, I'd go to them between Northville and Plymouth and say, oh, how can I be for Plymouth when I love Northville so much? But I lived through it, and then was after my nephew started to play in Northville. Then I could be true to Northville forever and ever and ever. So that was easier.
Yeah.
Right.
So then when did you come back to Northville? When you two were married?
Yeah, but Benny left when he went in service. And I was living in Detroit then, going to night school at Wayne State, working at Ford Hospital, and living with Margaret Sadie, who Margaret Van Helmont Sadie. And she was the one who was going to Jay, and she introduced Benny and I on a blind date that neither one of us wanted to go on. So that's how we met. And I lived in Northville part-time, still working in Detroit, took the bus out, left home at 8 in the morning, got home at 8 at night because I was homesick for Northville. So I stayed with my mother and worked for a while, but winter came, so we moved back to Detroit. But that was a short time. So other than living in South Carolina in World War II, and then a winter in California and a winter in Florida, we've been Northville for all the time. I can remember a church lady looking one time when she found out that both my husband and I were born in Northville, and we were still living here, and they had lived in New York and Texas and California and Florida. She looked, and I could see that poor child has never been out of this town. But it's a great place to come home to.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, very special.
Even now, when I only know probably 1% of the people who live here. Not like 30 years ago when I knew the name of every family in town.
Yes. You know.
Mary Alexander, you know, Lou Engel's mom, was so great. She knew everyone by their home address. Give her an address, she could tell you who lived there. Because she was our city clerk. And she did all the water bills, you know, and the taxes. And so just throw out an address to her and she could tell you who lived there.
Well, you were the same with school people.
Well,
everybody figured you knew everybody.
Good. The time burn that I found out I'd been at school too long, we had a new enrollment in the Ammerman School. So I take a look at the name and I say, this is not a new enrollment. This boy has been in our school before. So you turn around, look through my cards, pull out the boy's name, only it happened to be his father. So I did remember the name, but it was not at the time period that I thought it was.
Yeah.
And when the third generation came, I thought, I didn't mind having the children of the ones I enrolled in kindergarten come, but when the children's children were old enough for kindergarten, I thought it was time to go.
Well, you moved around a certain amount in school because I encountered you happily in a number of places and positions.
Yes.
What'd you start out
well,
with?
Well, as Marge Dobbs' brother Ed said, who was in my high school class in Plymouth, said, what's the matter, Mary? Can't you hold on to a job? But when I started out, we only had two buildings in Northville, the Main Street Elementary and the high school. And my dear friend, Ruth Parmeter, was secretary to Mr. Ammerman in his office in the Main Street School. And there was one secretary in the high school, and that was it. And Elroy Ellison was elementary principal, plus teaching a couple of high school classes. So it was decided that he needed a part-time secretary. So I started a job as a half-a-day working for Mr. Ellison in the elementary office, which I loved, just absolutely loved coming to work for Northville Schools. And of course it was learning all the names of the teachers. Back then, Myrnie, we had more unmarried teachers than we had married teachers, because at one time you could not be married and teach school. So that's familiar to you. So I had the problem. It was easy enough to know that we had a Keith and a Fritz and a Knazovitz and so on, but it was difficult for me to remember the Miss or Mrs. So what I learned to do was call everyone Miss, because I discovered that the married ladies really didn't mind and just corrected me if I said Miss. But sometimes with the Miss and the others, I am not married, so I had to be very careful. But I loved working with the children. I loved doing the old dittos on the gelatin sheets that we would use copy after copy after copy on top, have to wait till it sink to the bottom. And then we really got so large that I was working full time. And then Ruthie Parmenter's husband decided to go back to school, went up to state, and Mr. Ammerman asked me to be his secretary. And I was very frank with him and said, "Mr. Ammerman, I'm not smart enough to be your secretary." And he said, "Well, I think that's for me to decide." And so I said, "Well, I'll tell you, I'm willing to try it. If you will be very honest with me, and if it doesn't work out, you know, fine." So we started out, and I loved it because I absolutely loved the bookkeeping. I just absolutely loved doing the keeping the books for the school. So that's how I started out.
Now, about what date was that if you were Mr. Ammerman's secretary?
Oh, let's see. That had to be, let's see, Judy was born in 40, Judy was born in what, 45? So it must have been about 44. So it must have been about 48, 49, 50, bung in there when they came. Yes, because then when I was pregnant with Joyce was when I stopped working and thought I'd never be back to the school again and withdrew my money from the retirement. But I paid it back. Yeah. I paid it back later. So that was my second job, was secretary to the superintendent. And then I had two babies. I had Joyce and then Janice. And then Ammerman School was about to open. And our second elementary, big thrilling time. And the fact that it was named the Russell H. Ammerman School was very exciting for me. And Dick Kay and Harry Smith were going to be the two elementary principals. Harry had been a high school teacher, Dick had been an elementary teacher. And I got a call from I think it was Alice, Dick's wife, who called me first and said, "Dick's going to need a secretary when you come back." So anyhow, I went back and started to work at the Ammerman School.
When it opened.
It was really exciting to be there. I think I still had the dedication program when it was dedicated. And we were just, it was just so clean and so nice, and it was kept that way. And then pretty soon we needed the addition, and then we had a new form of bookkeeping for the classes and the groups at the high school. So Mr. Ammerman asked me if I'd like to come to high school and take care of that. It was something new, and it was bookkeeping, and I said, "Yes, I'd like to do that." So I went back to the high school then, and then...
That was the high school still on Main Street?
Yes, that was the high school still on Main Street. And then besides that, I always did pupil accounting. That seemed to follow me, whatever else. When I was Mr. Ammerman's secretary, I did pupil accounting, and when I was in elementary, it was for me down there, but I enjoyed doing it. And so that was another part of the job. And then we went from then on to the high school, and then we were opening the junior high, you know. So that was, and Mr. Ammerman asked me if he thought I'd like to take that over, do activity fund accounting and the child accounting. And I said, well, yeah, I thought I'd like to. He said about a half-time job. So I did that for a while. And your son was in junior high at that time. I loved those kids. Your oldest son.
Yeah, Chad.
Chad.
Yeah.
Chad was in junior high when I worked for Dutch and Harry in that building. And a lot of our fine young teachers started when I was there. David Longbridge came as our phys ed teacher. And how delightful that was. Ralph Redmond came to teach art at the time, and his sweet wife was our music teacher that year. So it was a lot of good memories, these young kids coming in and watching them grow and be great teachers and then administrators. And Horvath came to coach football in one of those years when I was in the junior high. So it was, you know, good times. And then they had some changes at the high school, so I could never say no to Mr. Ammerman's job. So he said, we need you to go up to the high school, and would you go? And we need someone to run the bookstore because the teachers aren't doing it anymore. So I thought, well, that sounds interesting. I'll go up there. So I was back in the high school for a while. Then when Earl Boussard came, he said, I think we need you in central office. You're just wasting your time up there, which I didn't believe. I think he thought I was bad influence on the kids and wanted to get me out of there. So I came back to central office, and that was where I ended up my years. So pretty much doing the same thing, pupil accounting and taking care of some of the finance, and which I enjoyed. I really enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, so, because see, you were always the expert that took people to the safe where the records were.
Oh,
the old
yes,
records.
Down in there. I tried to teach that way to open that safe to everyone I knew and gave them the combination, and no one ever wanted to go down there. But we had beautiful records, and one time we had a request when Larry Nichols was here from Wayne State, wanted to send a couple grad students out who were looking into old historical records. So he asked me, would I mind seeing to them? He said, oh, be delighted. And they were so excited on some of the beautiful old records that we kept in that old vault. And they said, please see to it that nothing ever happens to these. Don't let anyone throw them in the rubbish like they do in some places. So when I left, I just said to Marge Dobbs, now you're in charge. You see to it that nothing happens to those old records. Big thrill for me would be, well, it doesn't happen anymore, but in the old days, would be when someone was trying to get their Social Security, no birth certificate. They needed 3 proofs of birth, and the school was one contact. So I'd go through there and look for old records. And I know several times I found them in attendance records for a teacher. Back in 17, 18, and 19, that those records were so good that I was able to get that information from there, and they could use it to help them establish their birth date so they would be eligible for Social Security. So it was I didn't mind looking through those old records. And besides, mine was down there, and Benny's record was down there, so we could look up to see what grades we got.
Were you surprised?
No. yeah. I've always just loved school. And I can remember in elementary school in Norfolk, I always thought on Friday nights I should kiss the teacher goodbye because I wouldn't see her till Monday.
And how about in August? Were you looking forward to school when you came?
Oh, yes. Couldn't wait for school to begin. You know, I used to go to school when I was sick because I didn't want to miss a day and miss out on something that went on. Mm-hmm. So it was, and working for the schools, the opening day was always so exciting. You know what that's like, Myrne, to see the new kids, to see them come in, to see the teachers come back and greet them. It was just exciting times to open school again.
I was interested in how accurate you were on children count for so many years.
Oh, yes.
And then I guess the procedure changed a little, and they were not as tight as they were.
Yes, but it used to be very important to us. You know, in the beginning, we used to get primary money, you know, now from the state, besides state aid. Now, that came from children from birth or something, but it had to do with our school census. So those records had to be very accurate in that we sent in. But then, I can't remember exactly when, but when they did away with the primary money, then it was base state aid only, and that was on attendance in school, when you enrolled in school. But the other money, some of it was paid simply for children in the community. So it was important that we kept good records on census and record keeping was my very best thing. I loved it. It's just, you know, it's a balance sheet can be such an exciting thing because it's right or it's wrong. There's no in between. So that's how I always felt about keeping records on children. And we would have different ones come in and want to know. Some from government offices who would want to know when a child enrolled in our school and when that child left. We had those records and could tell them that information. And I always thought it was very important to know that.
Yes.
And it was, and an exciting thing for me was always making up the new kindergarten cards for all our kindergarten kids coming into school and seeing them. And it was good days. And this was, you know, before we had buses, you know, it was, we had walkers to school or Benny living in the country, the district would pay tuition, but the families were responsible for transportation.
Oh, the districts paid the tuition for the kids in the rural schools.
Yeah. But not transportation. So they had to work that out.
Walked those 2 miles from here to the place many times.
Yeah.
Oh, to heaven's sake.
Oh, more than 2 miles, wouldn't that be? I think closer to 3 at least to go home from high school. Out 8 miles, you know.
Was
the road paved then? There when you first
we didn't pave 8 miles till 1937.
Oh, so you were out of school in 35, and he'd say few cars would go by. You know, people were willing to give you a ride, but the car had to come by first to stop and pick you up. So that was so. If you stayed after school for an activity, because Mom made one trip in the morning, one trip in the afternoon. Those who had activities walked home after that. So it was difficult. But of course in town, walking was a great thing. I remember when we lived on Carpenter north of 8 Mile, I used to walk home for lunch and back. I mean, it was just a nice little jog. Home and back again, but I think walking's gone out of style. That we like to ride. Now we have gym classes to get our exercise in. But but it's all right. Whatever comes along, you know. It's fun to do.
I was just thinking when I was about 5 or 6 years old, Northville used to park, they used to park on Dangle Park.
Oh, yeah.
And about, there was always an old car like Model T's, but then there was always about 5 or 6 or 7 horse and buggies parked too.
Yeah.
What did they tie them to?
Well, they had little posts.
Yeah, posts along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrap your reins around that.
Mm-hmm. Few old pictures have that on. Once in a while you can see it.
Saturday's a big night.
And our mail used to be delivered with a horse and buggy. Mr. Cook, old Mr. Cook, used to leave the Northville post office and bring it out to 8 Mile Road.
Oh, they didn't deliver down Garfield. You had to go to 8 Mile to pick it up.
Yeah, my mother was the one that got that bought into a Garfield.
The mail delivered down the road.
Oh, right down the road. Instead of
it was difficult living out in the country in those days. In fact, I think Mother was one who went to Edison time and time again and finally got electricity down Garfield Road. So, you know, this is rural living out there. Until the electricity came, then it meant a lot of things. The water pump, you know, no more pumping water by hand, and the kerosene lamps were out. So, yes,
the wash machine.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The exciting.
My mother used to wash on the board.
Oh, yeah.
I used to hate to crank that ringer board.
So those were the days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now. Okay, Benny, tell us about downtown.
Well, this was next to where the parking lot is today, where they have the handicap parking and the bandstand.
Yeah.
There was houses in there.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was next to the drugstore. And it was a little house, but it had a nice little porch.
I think it was called Merritt House.
Merritt House.
It was
a boarding house.
Right.
Oh.
And there was an old man with a white long beard and a cane, and he'd sit out there. He had his uniform on, his hat, Civil War hat. And every time he'd go by, he'd want to stop and talk to us.
Yeah.
We were kids, you know. And
yeah.
It was quite interesting.
Yeah, it was.
I can remember. Some things come back.
We've got a mystery. The Young Men's Hall. Do you have any idea what the Young Men's Hall was? Somebody said they thought it was that hair salon near there.
Oh.
You know.
I'll tell you who can tell you about it would be Don Ware.
Yeah.
Now see, if there's anything that I can't figure out about Northville, I have to go see Don Ware, and together we talk and talk till we get this thing settled. And Liza Wagonshoot's another good one that helps on this really old stuff.
Oh,
you
okay.
Know.
Okay.
And we heard about the young girls' club that they had. Now, where did I read about that recently? It must have been a historical meeting or something that they talked about it. Maybe Fran Gasly told me talking to us. But that was another thing that the high school young ladies went to.
Well, I'm sure you heard about Eddie Stinson building airplanes in Northville.
Yeah, but let's go over that because I don't know where exactly his field was or his plant. The two are not the same place.
The plant was a big old foundry building, but it was converted into a foundry after that or before that. I really can't remember. But it was about where that Photoshop is as you go around the bend.
You know, those new stores.
And
Yeah, on like South Main.
It's quite a big building.
At the end of
Katie Street. And I can remember walking by there as kids and looking in the window, the little factory windows, watching these guys build these plywood airplanes, And they would ship their engines and crates from wherever they got the engine.
In every household in Northville about had one of those big wooden crates for a playhouse in our backyard. We had one. They made wonderful playhouses. The dads would cut out windows and a door in it, and it was a playhouse. Every yard had one. They were great.
And it was, the field was at 6 Mile and Beck, where the recreation is trying to buy the property now from the Lappin family. And that's where they had the airfield. And when I was about 10 or 11 years old, we used to ride our bicycles, four or five of us kids, down there on a Sunday morning. And one Sunday morning, old Eddie would come out there, and I think he did a lot of drinking. But he'd, a lot of times he'd ask us, you know, who wants to go for a ride? Well, I went for a ride with him. First airplane ride I had was Eddie Stinson. And we flew all, you know, just treetop high in those days. And he says, where do you live? And I pointed in the direction. And it's just like practically living up on the top of this top floor and not much higher than that. And so he flew out there. And my dad was out feeding the cattle. And he buzzed my dad a couple of times. So we flew back to the airport, and when we got home, I was so proud that I went for an airplane ride. I told my dad, and my dad gave me a whip, and he says, if I ever catch you in an airplane again, I'll kill you.
He wasn't too happy about having him up there. Benny was so thrilled he could hardly stand it. You know.
Those What's days, you know.
Open cockpit?
Oh, sure. Oh, and the airplane was canvas and plywood, you know.
Now, you said they shipped in engines to him?
Yeah, for the plane.
Yeah, where did they come from?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we were too young to be interested in that part of it. But we knew they came in those big boxes. And if your father went down and asked, you could get
them. Well, the engines weren't really that big in those days. Surprisingly how small they were.
Yeah.
Was the furniture company still in business then?
I think it was Globe Furniture.
Yeah, Globe Furniture was right down there too. You know, they put that big curve in there. You know, we used to walk across the creek on the old bridge to get across there. The water flowed through. I don't know how they got rid of the water. It's gone. But there was the bridge to walk across when you went South Main Street.
Yeah.
In those days, which we always called Plymouth Avenue, which...
Oh, did you? Plymouth Avenue.
Yes, that was Plymouth Avenue. Uh-huh.
They tore down a lot of those buildings. There was a lot more buildings back in there. Mm-hmm. That was what they called, actually, in those days, the industrial area of Northville, even Ford Motor Company wasn't there, I don't think.
Well, not originally, no, because that was where the mill was.
Yeah, sawmill.
But Ambler's furnace factory was down there too. You know, the valve plant is now. Down where Ballinger is now. That was Ambler furnace, and all the furnace stores had their name on. You know, in the Ambler and.
If you drove down,
Dick Ambler's,
you went back
great-grandfather,
Katy Street by Bellinger's today, and went by that long building on the left as you come around the corner there. Well, that was a foundry, and I can remember back when my grandmother lived on Katy Street. We used to stay with her. We'd walk down and we'd see these guys pouring, making sand molds and pouring the lid of the iron into it to get a sand mold.
I think that's where they did the furnaces in there.
Was it the furnaces? We also had valves here, too.
Oh, yes, the valve foundry. The valve foundry was there. Right.
I don't remember the valve too much about what they made. But
I can remember Ambler Furnace down there.
But that was the only industrial area Northville had. It was right in that little area.
Yeah.
They did a lot of different things for the years.
We were a farming town. And if you talk to people in Detroit, they knew Northville for three things. Mayberry Sanitarium, the Wayne County Fair, and
Silver Springs Water.
That was, you know, Northville was famous.
And was the spring in the same place it is here?
Yes, yeah, but it just came out of the bank. It was a pipe coming out of the bank, you know. And we used to cross over the railroad track and pick pussy willows there in the springtime. That was a beautiful pussy willows.
And Silver Springs was a company in Detroit that used to come out and take water in by the big jugs, and they purified or something, and they bottled it.
Oh, so they were bottling it in Detroit.
Well, and then they finally moved the Silver Springs Bottling Company out there, made the pop, you know, right behind the railroad track. Yeah. And the inner urban was a big thrill in our lifetime. I can remember my first ride to Plymouth, you know, on the inner urban. It took forever to get there, but it was such a nice time. How would you go?
It
would come up Main Street, the same as the one that went 8 Mile, and then you went down alongside of the east side of the boulevard, you know. That was only a single road there in my day, when we were kids, you know. It would be on the west side, South Main. Mm-hmm. And then the other side even had houses across there, and then the inner urban went down in front of some of the houses, and that went all the way to Plymouth along there.
Oh, it went on Main Street or mm-hmm. cut through?
No, it went Main Street, which we called Plymouth Avenue back then, see? Yeah. Then it went Northville Road, you know.
But then it turned up Griswold.
No, that was the other one, dear. There were two. This one went to Plymouth. Now, the inner urban that went to Detroit went up Griswold to 8 Mile Road.
I can remember my uncle used to live on 8 Mile Road where they're building those condos now.
Mm-hmm.
And that house has been moved back. Who lived in that just recently?
Madigan's mm-hmm. lived there.
And that house was right next to the road in those days. And that inner urban one, we used to stay with my uncle. That inner urban would go by about 2 foot next to the house.
Yeah, you used to
scare us, you know.
Yeah, it seemed real close. Right.
So it would go 8 Mile then?
Yeah, 8 Mile. And then it would come in where the wine factory was at
Grand River and Orchard Lake.
Orchard Lake Road, you know. Uh-huh. It would get on to Grand River after 8 Mile, take Grand River. And then that connection would come down from Pontiac there and make those little waiting room there by the big chimneys. And then you'd go on to Detroit. Now, Liza Wagonshoots used to ride that into college when she went to college in Detroit. She became a school teacher.
Oh.
So she rode the inner urban into Detroit to go to teacher's college.
I used to ride living out in the country out here. We'd work, you know, in the summertime, as boys were, you know, about 14, 15 years old. We'd work picking cherries or apples or whatever we'd done. And we'd save up a few dollars, and then we'd go, I would walk into Northville, or I'd get a ride in. Then I'd get on the Biddle Jitney.
Bus.
It's a jitney, they called it. It's a big old car. It had four seats in it or something.
Oh, about six or eight.
And I would, for a dime, I would ride to West Point, which would be, no, Seven Point.
Five Point.
Which is Grand River and 7 Mile Road. Then I'd get on a streetcar, and I think that was only a dime.
$0.06.
Something like
that. $0.06.
To go downtown.
And you could get a transfer.
I'd go downtown to Hudson's or Crawley's and buy my shoes and my trousers, whatever I needed for school. Then I'd probably get lost when I walked around there. I'd get lost and find the right streetcar.
Yeah.
But I finally got home.
Yeah.
It took me all day.
Yeah. That was another exciting thing to do was to, when we got older, was to take that trip.
That was safe to do in those days, you know, for a kid that old. 16 years old. Couldn't do it today.
Yeah.
It was a big exciting thing to take that trip.
Yeah.
In those old streetcars, I loved riding on them. I just can't believe why they ever did away with streetcars, you know. There was so much room. There was always a place to sit down. If you had to stand up,
see,
and
they
hold
still
on
got them in Louisiana, where the convention was.
Yes, they had probably like the ones in Frisco, though. They're just show-off cars today, but they're still fun to ride on.
I learned to swim across the road here, all those condos are.
Yeah.
That was
the big gravel pit.
Well.
And that's where we learned to swim when we was only 7, 8 years old.
Yeah. And only boys went there because we
were told
they didn't wear suits.
We didn't. And they used to have these piles of gravel or sand piled up real high, and the water was down. We'd go swimming. It's getting
cold. Cold water.
And we'd always know the girls were up there on that peak looking down at us.
Those were the older girls. I never knew
about
that. I didn't know where swimming. We used to swim at the Northville Fish Hatchery, you know, out on that. Every summer they would leave one a pond without fish in that the children in Northville could go swim. It was really neat having a place to go swimming. That was our lake, besides swimming in the creek and where the Wickies live on Fairbrook, in that block just off of Center Street, is a house that we lived in at one time. And I tell this to people who are probably just 10 years younger than I am, and they can't believe this, but on Sundays, you dressed up for church, and we wore our white dresses and our long white cotton stockings, and you stayed dressed up all day long. You were not allowed to play ball. You were not allowed to do a lot of things. You could take walks. You could read books. So when we lived there, we were only a good block from the creek where we used to go swimming because the boys put in a dam so it was deep enough. So it was a very, very hot Sunday afternoon and we didn't have company that day. So my two older sisters and I were dressed in our white dresses and white stockings, and we said, it's so hot, why can't we go swimming? So we went upstairs and we undressed and put our wool bathing suits on under our dresses, got all dressed back up again, and said, oh Ma, we thought we'd go for a walk. And she said, all right. So we walked all the way up Center Street to Katy Street to Wing Street, right back down to where we practically lived, and zipped down the hill to the creek, took off our clothes, went swimming, had a great time, dried real fast in our wool suits, got dressed back up, walked back home again and sat down. And my mother said to my sister, Florine, what's that on your stocking? She said, I don't know. She said, well, it looks like blood. Come here, you must have hurt yourself. So she took her long white stocking down and there was a bloodsucker on her leg. And we got caught. That was, and people don't believe that you were not allowed to go swimming on Sunday, but you were. That was a day to be nice and sit and talk and read and walk.
And were church services certain hours only on Sunday in those days?
And that, well, in Northville, we had, even back then, I think we had two masses. And we always went to 8 o'clock, the early one, and I think the other one was at 10.
Where was the church?
In the location where the Catholic Church is today, up on their boulevard, which was never a boulevard, and Orchard Drive. But it was a white wooden church that we dearly loved. And when the people started moving out to Northville and the church was getting crowded, they called it the salt box that we had to get rid of. But we loved that church. It was getting too small, of course. And every pew was assigned to a family who had paid pew rent, and your name was on that pew, and you sat in the same pew every time you went to church. But sometimes there were two names because there were the 8 o'clock people and then the 10 o'clock people. So
one thing I miss is back in those days, every Sunday morning you could hear about 6 or 7 church bells.
Oh, the church bells were so beautiful.
Oh, it seemed like they were, one would ring and then would be all through ring, another one would start. Sometimes 3 of them would be ringing at one time. You don't hear that no more.
No, not the church bells. When Benny's company, when he was working there, a lot of people come in from England, and sometimes he'd say, well, these two gentlemen have been living at the Holiday Inn, you know, could I bring him for dinner? I said, be sure, bring him out, we'd be glad to have him. And one of them said, don't you ring the church bells on Sunday? He said, that's what I miss hearing, is all Sunday morning long, you would hear church bells ringing. And I said, well, I think the Baptists ring their bell in the Presbyterian, but you have to be in the vicinity to hear it ring, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was...
You hear the train whistle today going from here, you know, you can hear it, I hear it. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same as the old steam engine.
Oh, this
town was small, and those trains would go by here. A lot more trains used to go through here.
Oh,
it seemed
yeah.
like all night long, all day long, all you could hear was that train whistle.
Yeah.
That steam engine train whistle.
Yeah. And the depot was up above where the well is.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It was,
I think I left there at one time.
When you went in service?
No, I didn't go there for service, but I was home on furlough or something.
Oh. No, when we came, we always came into Detroit.
Yeah.
At either Michigan Central or the other one, I forget.
Union.
Union Station.